Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 12, episode 4 of Das Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
For January 5th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien. Gotta get one in for 2018.
Okay.
Courtesy of my friend Scotty, apparently. He noticed that there was a dish called Potatoes O'Brien back in high school. I just totally forgot about that. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, it's your boy Miles, a.k.a. sitting on the dock of the grave. Thank you from Kevin Maloney on Twitter.
The grave?
On the grave, man.
But
just
you threw a
let
V
me have
in
that.
There.
It was
I no,
did?
Yeah. I thought I heard a grave.
Okay, well, you know, I have people, creative license.
People will go back and puzzle
people,
over
yeah.
that. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the amazing writer, contributing editor at Bitch Media, and host of their podcast, Back Talk, Amy Lamb.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. What's going on, Amy?
Wilson High School's finest.
Yeah.
Hacienda Heights in the building.
Represent.
We were just talking because LA is so small. I was like, where are you from? She's like, here. I was like, where'd you go to high school? And then it turns out the two people I know that went to her high school, she knows. So it's a small world after all.
Now, that happens with you all the time. Miles knows
yeah.
everybody. So does your girlfriend. Like, I've walked into so many rooms with Rosie and...
Rosie!
Yeah, like four people stand up. It's crazy. Amy, what's something you've searched in the not-too-distant past that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
I have just searched Zach Kicking Vine. Have you guys seen this Vine?
Zach Kicking?
No. He's this dude, he's kicking a lot, and his friends are like taping him and they're all warning him, Zach, stop, you're gonna get in trouble. And he's just walking around kicking, and then like the last clip of this person supposedly is of him like getting arrested, but like there's like a whole cadre of like police officers with their guns drawn, and he has like put up his hands because he's about to get arrested. And I was just like, oh my god, did this guy really get arrested for kicking all day? Because he's like literally walking around doing like these really terrible.
Oh,
yeah. Like the roundhouse kick
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And just like out in the open, right? And then people thought he was just insane.
Yeah. I guess that does tell something about me because I watched that and I was like, that's not possible that he would get arrested for that. So I had to like seek factual.
And was he arrested?
No, I think that people's theories was that like, somebody had seen that clip of some guy getting arrested with like cops with guns drawn, and then they recreated the look of the guy getting arrested.
Oh, him, reverse like, engineered
yeah,
it.
Exactly, of him wearing like a black beanie and a white t-shirt and like jogger pants. So it looks like this kid got arrested
for walking just
around.
Walking around doing.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a truth seeker. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's like the least flexible karate kicks you've ever seen.
Yeah, it is not menacing.
Yeah, it's like barely getting above his like knee level.
He's so cute doing it too.
Yeah, I'm really glad you've brought that to our attention. What's something you think is overrated?
I think staying hydrated is overrated.
Yes,
it's too
overrated?
Much. Yes, it's too much work. Mm. Yeah, I think I've just been very dehydrated for maybe like 2 decades now because I'm tired of staying hydrated. And I think it works for me a little bit, so.
No, this is actually a thing that doctors will tell you that like the whole like carrying a fucking jug of water around with you everywhere you go is like ridiculous. And also focusing on 9 glasses of water every day is ridiculous because we actually get most of those glasses of water in our food. Our food has tons of water in it.
So how many glasses of water do I need to supplement?
I don't know. It depends on how wet the food is that you're eating.
I eat a lot of water-based like vegetables.
Yeah, then you probably don't need to drink more than like a glass or two of water.
I just threw my cup out.
He did. He just dumped it on super producer Anna. That was
dramatic.
That's a great overrated.
Hold on. I just have to get past this because I think about all the time. I had that app that like would remind
Plant
you to
Nanny?
Drink water.
Was it Plant-a-Nanny?
No. It was like Hydrate. It was one for humans just to drink water.
No, this was for humans.
It was called Plant-a-Nanny?
Yeah, and it was like every time you drank the water, you were like watering your plant, so you didn't want to kill your plant.
Wait, Miles, did you think Amy was a plant up until now?
Why am I on trial? I don't know.
It was kind of like a peek. You know, wait, not one of those stupid little toys that we used to have, and we used to take care of them. They were like
Tamagotchi.
Yeah, it was like a Tamagotchi, but a plant app. And I tried doing it, and I had to pee so much.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It really irritated me, and I was like, fuck this plant. And my plant, like, shriveled up and died. it was just too sad.
I think there are, like, some bodybuilders or something that needed more water than the rest of us. But, I've just stopped actively trying to drink more water, and I've felt completely fine. And in some cases, like, drinking too much water makes you feel, like, kind of bloated and lazy.
But your fingernails keep breaking off.
Yeah, my fingernails do break off, and yeah, like, my hair is crispy even when I get right out of the shower.
But it wasted so much like productivity time peeing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It was like breaking up my day in such unproductive way, so fuck that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I love that overrated. Miles is not going to believe us, but...
I mean,
that's on him.
I'll try it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm barely drinking water anyway. So
no, but like your body is really good at telling you when you're thirsty.
That's
like,
true. That it's usually at the end of the day.
Inbuilt mechanism.
I will down like you know 8 glasses of water because I'm so thirsty.
You're like, God, yeah.
Could be all the salty food.
Also, I was thinking, you know, like that. There's that meme of that black dude who's like pointing at his head, like he's super
roll
smart.
Safe.
Yeah,
roll safe.
I was thinking like you can't be dehydrated if you're always dehydrated. Right?
Ooh.
So that's like my life jam now. I'm like, I can't be dehydrated.
Someone needs
I'm
to make that
dehydrated.
That roll safe meme.
Yes.
Can't be dehydrated if you've never been hydrated.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Boom.
What's something that's underrated, Amy?
So my underrated, I've actually thought a lot about this, is I think tourist traps are really underrated.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. I just got back from a trip like yesterday. And I feel like tourist traps really serve a purpose for people who are like inexperienced travelers or like scared to do certain things. Also, they support like a local economy that's really reliant on you going to that specific tourist trap.
Can you give an example of a tourist trap that you stopped at that you were like super excited to have stopped there?
Yeah. What is this based on? So you just came back. Can we talk about your trip?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
So what? Break it down.
So we were just in this like small beach town in southern Thailand called Ao Nang, and it's super touristy. Like I think people who go there pretend like it isn't, but I think all of the economy there is to support tourism. Like honestly.
Right.
But you know, I had a great time, and I'm not going to talk shit about how like all the vendors are selling. Well, no, I did talk shit about it, but they're all selling those stupid like balloon pants with the elephant print on them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what the psychology is behind buying them, like because no Thai people are actually wearing them. Like you only wear them if you're like a tourist mark, right?
Right.
But good for you. You bought them, and now like a Thai vendor made money off of it.
Yeah, like overcharge you crazy.
Yeah.
Man, my girlfriend's so funny. She came back from Thailand. Guess what I got?
Those balloon pants?
Some Thai elephant pants.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is my thighs are like so thick that I sat Indian
slim
style and blew the crotch out like immediately. Because the threat, they were not reinforced properly. But like,
right.
that's not their fault. They don't know who's going to wear the pants like nasty American people later on. But that's funny because that was like the exact gift I got were those
elephant
pants.
Yeah, right.
Pants.
I mean, and
like, these slim fit pants are really.
Exactly. And like everyone else, like, man, these are like MC Hammer harem pants. And I'm like, ooh.
I wore nothing besides harem pants from like third grade to fifth grade because I was such a big MC Hammer fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was who I was.
Just so you know, I went on the Too Legit to Quit tour sponsored by Pepsi. Shout out to them. My dad used to like take pictures of MC Hammer, and I thought I was the coolest kid, but not many people at my school thought MC Hammer was that cool, so I was kind of alone.
Well, anyway. I lived in Dayton, Ohio, so that was cool.
They're, is he from
like,
Dayton?
Real. No, no, oh, just that's how, like, that was rap. That
right,
was,
right.
Like, the edgiest rap that you got in Dayton, Ohio was, can't touch this.
But Dayton is actually, like, the home of some of the greatest funk bands.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yes.
I was not into the cutting-edge funk when I was 8 years old.
Well.
But I now know where you guys can get these pants if you want them.
Okay,
that's all
cool.
I'm saying.
But yeah.
I mean, the thing is that, like, I also edit this other website called On She Goes, and it's for women of color and travel, like the world of women of color and travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm often getting pieces of people trying to, like, go off the beaten path or, like, do something authentic or whatever. But it's, like, I get, like, the need to do that. But, you know, tourist traps serve, like, a really good point, I think, for certain types of travelers and for the people who live there who like, make a living off of it.
Right. There's nothing like inherently evil about a tourist trap.
Right.
Because for all those reasons, like your money is, I mean, unless it's like a corporate tourist trap or money's just going to like some corporation that's sucking all your money up. But if it's like local vendors.
I mean, even think of Los Angeles, like where we are now, like on Hollywood Boulevard, it's a bunch of tourist trap shops selling you like gear that says like, I love Hollywood or whatever. But like, I think this is how these people survive. They're not owned by corporations. So I'm like, go for it. Spend your money there if that's what you want to do.
Boom.
Yeah, no judgment.
And there is nothing more authentic than where we are right now. Because,
Hollywood Boulevard.
There are toilets out on the street. There's
true. Yeah.
You see crazy shit.
Yeah, we were trapped in the building.
I had
Anna
a cop
and
with a gun on me, sort of. And yeah, we had to resuscitate someone. Not like using CPR, but like wake somebody up. Who was passed out. It's a cool neighborhood.
Thanks, Garcetti.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like because people are all looking for this like authentic experience. Now, like those authentic experiences become their own tourist traps, and the stuff that's just like you're right. driving down the highway and it's like, come to miniature land or something, where your initial knee jerk is like, well, I'm not going to go there because that's like some bullshit that some guy built in his backyard.
Right.
It's actually going to be super cool. And sometimes you might get like a gem.
Just walk around. Don't be afraid to explore. That's all. But don't shame yourself into being like, well, I didn't go to do the most authentic thing. Like,
no, buy your stupid pants.
Yeah.
Buy their pants.
Yeah. Bring them home to your partner. Let them blow them out.
Blow them out. Just exactly. after the first try.
Like thick thighs.
And then, yeah, and then start a whole debate where, like, she had to hear them, like, see, no pants ever fit me. Anyway, that's my own. That'll be my own podcast.
All right. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world. We talk about pop culture, the news, and just trying to take the general temperature of our global shared consciousness. Miles, where are we at?
I mean, I think it's still getting hot. The temperature's rising because Fire and Fury, I mean, it is one of the greatest bits of tabloid journalism I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's only getting hotter.
Yeah, we will be talking about that today. Some of the revelations, if you can call
weird
them that.
Shit.
We're going to balance out our Bloidwatch.
Bloidwatch.
With some looks into Fire and Fury, because it's like that sort of journalism. But we always like to start out by asking our guest, what is a myth? What's something that global shared consciousness believes to be true, Amy, that you have noticed or know to be a myth?
Well, I have two.
Okay.
One's like more personal, and I'll just keep it super brief. And maybe you have had other guests who have mentioned it. So the more personal one is there's this myth about like Asian tiger moms, because I'm a child of refugee immigrants who are ethnically Chinese but from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And my parents were just very happy that I graduated college, period. Like, they were just very happy for me to get, like, office desk job. Like,
right.
There are a lot of Asian parents that are working class who just are happy that you finish school.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and that you don't have to be a lawyer or a doctor or anything. And I think that, like, a lot of popular portrayals of Asian parents are, like, these maniacal, like, overdriven, like crazy psycho parents who want their kids to do
like you're not the first chair violin in this Philharmonic.
No, my parents didn't even want me to play instruments because they thought it was a waste of time and money because they didn't have any money.
Right.
So I just want to like dispel this notion that like there are no such thing as like just boring, regular, old working class like Asian American families where the parents just want you to like have a good job where you have health insurance and like air conditioning.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And to not live in their fucking house anymore.
No, actually, well, my parents kind of did because like they're old school. They wanted me to live there until I got married.
My mom made it very easy for me to stay at home for a long time too. But she was like, she had like a half-assed tiger mom thing.
Yeah.
Like being Japanese. Like I had to play piano. You know, I had to do like special math class. But then like as I got older, like I think she was just kind of like, nah, all right, he seems like he'll figure it out. So I think she's like, she was more of a tiger cub mom. No, just chilled out. Yeah.
What's your second myth?
Oh, and my second myth is a more practical one. I think that in popular culture, we often talk about credit cards. Like, they're the worst thing ever. Like, they take advantage of consumers.
Mm-hmm.
But you can take advantage of credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called churning. There's an actual word for it. Like, you know, like, to churn, like, butter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you can, like, play the credit card game to, like, earn points and use those points to, like, travel, get free hotel stays, to do all kinds of random shit that, like, you don't have to pay money for.
Wait, so how do you churn exactly?
I'm not going to do a whole workshop on this.
Okay.
Where can we find it? Do you write about it?
I don't even write about it. I just have read a lot about
it. But you invited me to the seminar you're doing at the Hilton. $60 a person?
The reason why I'm even mentioning this is because even though I know hella shit about credit card churning, I don't know anything about saving from retirement. And my brother has like totally shamed me because I'm the oldest. And he's just like, what the fuck are you going to do when you're old? I'm like, right. I don't know. Like,
I'm going to
live with one of you guys. He's like, no, you're not living with any of us. So I'm actually inviting somebody to teach me how to like
save
like
for save. Retirement.
Yeah, so that
and
I'm
you'll
not,
teach them
how to yes, churn credit cards.
Talk to my girlfriend. She's really good at saving.
I'm
not
totally serious.
And you can teach her how to churn.
Can somebody teach me how to like not be decrepit and destitute when I'm old? I'm fine with being decrepit when I'm old.
Yeah.
But I'd rather not be destitute because I'm too lazy to like really work hard to take care of myself.
And you don't want to be like working fast food.
No,
like
bro. 70s. Oh my God. I have like soft hands. I can't be doing shit like that.
Although, I have read that, people who retire like early die younger, and people who work into their old age actually live longer because it like keeps you stimulated and active and like having a reason to, you gotta clock in. They just live long, miserable lives.
I'd rather die young, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell my parents, but I would.
Well, you're in your 20s. You say that until you get a little bit older.
Thanks.
We'll take that.
All right, let's get into a couple of the stories that people are talking about today. There's a story that's kind of everywhere. Researchers have discovered two major flaws in the world's computers.
No, really?
How they communicate with the cloud. And this story is apparently going to be around for like the next 10 years because this entire generation of computers and computer chips are compromised. But so we'll probably get into it in detail a little bit later. But I just wanted to flag it because it's part of this broader vulnerability that I feel like my entire adult life is sort of teetering on, where I don't speak this language that, you know, all these computers and computer programmers, you know, built this world on. And we just keep finding out like, oh yeah, they were just like making like sort of exploitable technology. And then, you know, before anybody found out, they just like dumped all their stock. And I don't know, I'm feeling less great about the tech sector.
Yeah.
Wait, what's this
so
problem?
There's like two, right?
Yeah.
Like one is like, there's a Spectre. The one's called Spectre. The other one's called Meltdown.
Yeah.
Bad
yeah.
Days.
Cool. A yeah. ghost and a psychological meltdown.
And it has something to do with the computer chips themselves. So like, yeah. Those are in a lot of stuff, I believe.
Yeah, they say the Meltdown flaw affects 90% of microprocessors made by Intel. Which is funny because before Intel, you know, they made that all this news public, the CEO dumped millions of stock.
Right. Basically, so Meltdown and Spectre allow hackers to steal the entire memory contents of computers. This is a quote from a New York Times article about it, including mobile devices, personal computers, and servers running in so-called cloud computer networks, which is everything. Thing.
Meltdown and Spectre sound like two busted down American gladiators.
Well, Spectre was a Bond villain, like the agency that like was kind of running throughout the Bond franchise.
Oh.
So that's probably where they're getting
and Meltdown
it
is a comic book store.
Right. There you go.
We solved it. Cool.
Right. So I don't know, like people who understand more about this stuff, like make me feel better, I guess, is what I'm asking. Because this revelation and the Equifax revelation last year, it's just like, yeah, no, everything you're doing is totally exploitable.
And can be stolen.
Right. And it's all in a language that not only don't you speak it, you don't even like understand like what's up and down in that universe. Or at least I don't.
Do you trust computers, Amy?
I mean, as much as I guess anybody does. And I think the fucked up part is that I feel like a lot of people kind of don't even care.
Right.
Yeah, they're always like the type of people who's like, well, I'm not doing anything illegal, so who cares if you steal my information?
Right.
Yeah, and it's not a good attitude to have, but I think that we've been bred to have this attitude, so it works out for everybody in the end.
Yeah, because I'm looking at like, well, my computer isn't melting down, so right. This probably doesn't affect me.
It's not melting down right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't see any specters in here.
I'm always deleting like my nudies super fast, so it's right. Like they're not living anywhere.
See,
right?
That's why I do sketches now for nudes.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it. And another piece of happy news, police fatally shot 987 people last year, which was up from 2016. So I don't know. I had personally assumed that when Obama, during the Obama administration, they were passing all this body camera stuff, that was going to solve something.
Right.
We had a conversation with Duray McKesson before the break where he was talking about how he was in Austin working with community activists to try and get legislation changed so that the people had access to what the body cameras are taking, because apparently that is the hitch in the body camera thing, is that, you know, the body cameras are a great idea in theory, but the police departments like get to control what, like where the footage goes and who gets to see it and how much of it gets edited out. So yeah.
Just to make an art joke, those tapes are harder to get than the Cremaster cycle.
Nice.
Anyone fuck with Matthew Barney? All right.
Yeah,
later.
That's Bjork's ex-husband, right?
Because you cannot get those tapes. I just did a bizarre art reference, but that was my first instinct.
Yeah, those were showing by my apartment in New York when I lived in New York. And I never saw them. So
just like police body cam footage.
Right, exactly. So that was a good metaphor.
Thank you.
Miles.
And I well done, done sir. For today.
All right. And then just briefly, we have a correction on the Jay Timberlake story. We were talking about how he was about to release a rootsy single where he like stripped everything down. And, you know, that's what all the visuals that he was releasing seemed to indicate. But he released his single and it is like heavily funk inspired.
It's like future funk.
Future funk.
Glitch funk. Yeah.
There's a video released with a song where he controls a robot with sexy dancing.
It's like a weird, bizarro Steve Jobs kind of.
We weren't the only ones who was taking that there was going to be like a weird, like, Jay Timberlake Nebraska
is
or something.
Is he trolling us? Because that would look like a weird Abercrombie commercial, and then suddenly he's like wearing the turtleneck on stage and like the robot is like breaking and popping and locking.
Yeah, I think maybe one possibility is that this is the song that sounds most like his previous work, and so that's what the label is going to want to release so that people aren't like, don't get whiplash.
Yeah.
Or he was trolling us.
Well, Justified is still my favorite album, so we'll see.
Ever? Yeah, you were saying
ever,
that's
yes.
your favorite album
yeah,
of all time.
I have the tour dates tattooed on my back. The stripped Justified tour with Christina and Justin.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we're back. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the Logan Paul story, which has had some updates since we last mentioned it.
I just want to talk about Logan Paul because, A, this man is in my other country, Japan. My mom is Japanese. My dad is black, if you guys haven't figured that out yet. And first he got in trouble because he went to the suicide forest and he taped, basically did the video equivalent of poking a dead body with a stick, which is already so taboo in Japan. Like, suicide is like it's a very taboo thing. Death is a very private thing. And to broadcast that shit, I'm fucking triggered, my G. Okay. and then I saw this other video with him. Like, it was like, oh, just like Tokyo is a playground. Straight disrespecting Japanese culture. He was like walking around with a fucking octopus tentacle and like hitting shit and like putting the fucking camera in people's cars and shit in their faces. Japan does not play like that. Okay. Privacy is a very big issue. They went nuts like when they did Google Street View and they thought the camera was too high because they could kind of see over a fence. Even though nothing could be seen, it's just a very private thing. And to get in people's faces with cameras and act a fool is wild. And then like later on, he's like, dude, I love Japan. He's like, they're so chill. Like they just let me be an idiot. Like these people even like laugh with me sometimes at me. He's like, America can learn a lot. It's like, no, motherfucker, you are so ignorant. They hate your ass and you are violating so many cultural norms there. For example, like, and I just wish people talked about this more because this is what upset me also, because I think there's this idea that because Asian people do not speak up a lot because we're just sort of culturally non-confrontational, we're not here to bother people. That's why people also, when they go to Japan, it's like, oh, wow, everyone's so polite. Because, yeah, we're not trying to bother anyone and no one bothers us back. And that's how we maintain this, homeostasis.
But on the inside, we are saying, fuck your
face.
We're
like, this motherfucker doesn't shut up. And American people already act wild in Asian countries, like, because they think, oh, the silence is like consent, or we're like, oh, yeah, this is cool. Like, we're co-signing it. We're not. Logan Paul, do yourself a favor. Stay the fuck out of Japan. If I catch you out there, bruh, I don't even know.
I think the other part that's super fucked up is that, like, for a guy like him, I think he's one of those dudes that's just like, any press is good press.
Right.
Because there are a lot of people who didn't know who he was until the Suicide Forest story came out. And now they all know who he is. And it's just like more exposure for his name for being a disrespectful asshole. But he's the type of like sociopath who doesn't care that's what he's being known for. He's just glad that he's being known.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, his behavior is like unsurprising. I think we all recognize that.
No, for sure.
Yeah. But I think it's just one of those things where people often visit places like Japan or like other Asian countries where, you know, it's like an amazing destination and you want to go there because it's exotic and interesting and different. But then once you're there, like you guys, like a lot of folks don't have the right attitude about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that there's like an American exceptionalism that we bring abroad. I mean, I do it. I'm like,
I do too. And I'm like a Japanese, secret American. And I'll go there and I'll like walk around my chest out. I'll be like, what's up? And then I'm like, oh, like, wait.
Like, you know, like
just
I was
bumping people's shoulders.
I mean, never that, but like, yeah.
I get that vibe from both of you guys. Yeah. You're just walking around Asian
monsters. We're like, yo, we're culturally American though.
No, I do. I feel that way when like, especially when I'm like in, this is so shitty to say, but when I'm in like developing countries, especially like, developing ancient countries, I'm always like, our bathrooms are better. Like our toilets are always cleaner. Right. Like we always have toilet paper in our bathrooms, just dumb shit like that. But I mean, I feel it, and I'm like, I'm sensitive, so I can't imagine. I mean, I kind of can't imagine this like brutish asshole dude going there and thinking he could just walk around doing his American shtick there and getting, and like being okay with it because nobody's like yelling at him to stop.
Yeah,
right.
It's shitty too because kids are seeing that and they're only seeing the like people kind of like smiling. Although there is a thing where he's like at Tsukiji Fish Market, and the dude is basically in Japanese. They've been like, yo, you're feeling yourself a little too much.
Really?
And he's like trying to figure out what he's saying, and the guy's like, don't be a fucking cocky dick.
Really?
And, yeah. Oh, and it's kind of a G moment, but even though he's like, oh, cool. But like people then think like, yo, this tentacle bullshit. I'm like, I'm done with this shit. Anyway.
It's like putting his arm around him.
Yeah,
like,
get the fuck out, bro.
This is my homie, bro.
Yeah, bro. I'm a fucking, I got something for you. So anyway, fuck out of here.
Fuck that guy. There was also a story that didn't get much attention, weirdly, where a white supremacist terrorist was trying to blow up an Amtrak train.
Yeah, he's trying to derail a train. This guy had all kinds of agendas. Apparently, this guy he's from Missouri. But anyway, he was on a train, I think, going from Sacramento to St. Louis. And one of the conductors felt like the train, like, braking. And when he went to go look, this guy was, like, at the controls of the train in the back. And, like, he was, like, he had a gun on him and all this other shit. And he had expressed before an interest in, quote, killing black people. Then, like, the FBI, like, they checked his house. He had all these guns. And, like, they noticed he'd been at the Unite the Right rally and was part of, like, some neo-Nazi group. And, yeah, I didn't hear much about it. And then when I read it, I was like, what the fuck is this? It's, like, straight up white supremacists, like, saying, yeah, I want to kill black people. I'm trying to fuck with trains. So.
It is kind of wild that, like, I know more about the Logan Paul story than I know about this dude.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, they're both disrespectful-ass white dudes, but this guy actually tried to kill people in the United States of America.
Yeah.
As part of an ideological attack, that is, like, straight-up terrorism. If it was a different ideology that he was trying to kill people in the name of, it would be on the cover of newspapers. It would be all you read about on Drudge Report, but because Drudge is a racist asshole, and, you know, a lot of our mainstream media, like, this is one of the biggest places that the mainstream media, I don't understand, like, how something like this doesn't get coverage, but they will cover, like, any attempted terror attack by somebody who is brown. Like, if this guy was brown and still named Taylor Wilson, I guess there's no brown person named Taylor Wilson, but he's a redhead, so, like, you can't get people to.
Well, it's just weird because most other terrorists will just label as terrorists, but like a lot of the white people who commit mass shootings, like, you know them by name. Like, you know their names. Like,
and they're like lone wolves. You know, they're not a serious threat because they're all by themselves, even though they belong to a white national movement that consists of like thousands of angry, sad white dudes.
Right.
And again, you know, but he was charged with terrorism attacks and other violence against railroad carriers and mass transportation systems.
And yet white people aren't banned from trains. I don't understand.
Where's a train ban?
Yeah.
All right. We wanted to move on from all that dark shit to get into movie stuff. We've got the Golden Globes coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
And first of all, I think most people assume or I've heard people refer to the Hollywood Foreign Press as like this mysterious body of like a few foreign journalists who, you know, are just liable to be bought off. And Miles, you know one of these journalists, correct?
Yes, I've, you know, look, I'm an investigative journalist, okay, and I've been planning this story for many years, insofar as that I got my mother to become part of the Hollywood Foreign Press, and now that I'm on the inside, I'm going to bring it down.
So you're going to the Golden Globes?
Yes, I guess we'll have to, I guess we're going to come out with the news now. The Daily Zeitgeist was nominated for a Golden Globe because the brand is, you know, it's world renowned now.
The brand is strong?
Yes, as Deez and Meryl say, the brand is fucking strong. Yeah, I'm going to go this weekend. purely because of nepotism. And you know, we'll see what kind of reporting I'll dig up. But
yeah,
it's a fun night. It's what's crazy is that all the actors and people who are there, they get the drunkest because it's like a dinner, and it's not as big as like at the Oscars. You're sitting in the theater just being like, okay, here's an award.
Right, right.
Whereas at the Golden Globes, there's dinner. Every time there's a commercial break, everyone runs to the fucking bar.
Right.
And then, like, just drinks as much as they can and then gets back in the seat, like, as the broadcast is happening. Sometimes right. they'll just stay back there even as the awards are happening just so they can drink.
I still haven't figured out, like, how to control the audio because you can just, like, hear the hum getting louder throughout the broadcast yeah. as people get drunker and yeah. drunker. And, yeah.
It's fun. I'll be sitting in the way back, but you probably won't see me. So, but I am there.
Have you been before?
I have been, yes.
How's the food?
Food is actually pretty good. It's usually like Wolfgang Puck or someone doing the menu. Also, Lindt Chocolate is always there. So if you're a big chocolate truffle fan, this is the place for you. And then after that, it's just like, yeah, it's just, it's weird. I mean, like, my girlfriend really wants to go. So we're going just so she can have that little experience. I'm kind of over it. I'm just being like a local LA person, just kind of little.
It sounds like dinner at a fancy mall.
Yeah, like a Wolfgang Puck. The coolest right. food court ever. Yeah, right. exactly. And then like nine, there's like eight after parties after. Like every single network or studio or distributor has like an after party. But look, that's boring stuff. I'm going to try and take some voice notes and maybe we can put a little piece together mm-hmm. come Monday.
And you're going to get on that red carpet, right? You said you're going to take
you
down
You better
some...
believe I'm on the red carpet. Mm. I mean, they have the long red carpet. What they'll do is they'll stop the plebs or the plebeians or however you want to pronounce that, the hoi polloi, mm-hmm. if you will.
The regs, yeah, regos.
The regos. And then like, you know, one year, like Lupita Nyong'o, I think it was her first year being there, I got to walk by her. I was on the stream, but I was pretending I was visually impaired. And like my friend was acting as my nurse. So I was like holding his arm and he was like describing the scene for me. And I'm just, I'll try and upload that video so you can see that it's ridiculous.
All right. We wanted to get into the upcoming movies, the most anticipated movies of 2018,
ooh.
According to Film School Rejects. Film School Rejects are anticipating a lot of movies. So this is a long-ass list. We have pared it down to ones that made me go, oh, yeah, or hmm, or, you know, anyone yeah. on the staff had an interest in. Just overall, what were you guys' impressions of the list? Like, are you more excited about the year of movies, less excited based on...
I don't know. I'm one of these people who, like, I'm not really, like, I don't study the upcoming films list. I typically find out when everyone does, like, when a trailer comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's, like, a certain film, like, obviously the Han Solo movie, like, I'm stoked for. Because, who knows? Although there hasn't been one fucking trailer for
right.
it. I'm very interested in that. But when I looked at, like, some of the other lists, it seemed like there are so many remakes and sequels,
so
too.
So many.
And like when you pair that with the fact that 2017 had the like lowest amount of tickets sold in like 25 years.
And like so many sequels.
Sequels. Like what are you going to, is it going to be better? But I don't know. I mean, there are books like Ready Player One or Wrinkle in Time that look like they're going to have cool movies.
Right. So I've heard Ready Player One is a garbage book, but it's being made by Steven Spielberg. So maybe it'll be good. But A Wrinkle in Time just looks out and out, like a dope
looks
movie.
Wild.
Time magazine just like gave it its cover and was like, this movie will change everything. It's going to be the new Wizard of Oz. But if you're not familiar with that, Wrinkle in Time was a book written in the 60s that is one of the most banned books in American libraries, right next to Catcher in the Rye, because basically the only thing I could tell is because it has a young female protagonist and the like Christian church was not down with that or something.
You mean The Wrinkle in Time?
Yeah, Wrinkle in Time was deemed to be anti-Christian because it, you know, it's science fiction / fantasy and it has a female protagonist. So the 1-2 punch of...
Empowered woman thinking outside the box?
Right.
Get rid of that fucking book.
Right. It's being directed by Ava DuVernay and has just a dope cast. So it should be a pretty good
movie. The trailer looks wild.
Yeah, it really does. It looks completely insane.
But then other than that, all sequels, right? Another Avengers movie.
Right.
Another Deadpool movie.
The new Ocean's Avengers film. Movie looks especially like uninteresting to me. Like the only thing that they have that I haven't seen before is a bad guy that looks like a, I don't know, like a toy, like just like a giant, like plastic toy. He's like all rounded off and weird.
At least it looks like they have nearly every single Marvel person who had a film in there.
Right.
So there's that.
Yeah, but they've all been in movies before.
Right.
I'm not sure. Solo, I don't know. It seems like so much stuff went wrong on the set. There are like movies where people are like, oh, things are going wrong because the director is going over budget. That's a type of things going wrong on the set that I usually think can occasionally make good things, like Titanic and The Revenant was supposed to be a disaster. And like these are all movies that basically they're supposed to be disasters because directors have a very specific vision and like won't stop shooting
and
until
those
they
work,
find
though.
It. Yeah,
because
those work.
The Revenant's like, we're using natural light.
Right.
Like, so.
Whereas the problem with Solo is that the directors had their own unique vision and then they got fired halfway through.
Right.
And Kathryn Kennedy brought on Ron Howard, who is very workmanlike, but I don't know if he's going to bring something like really original and imaginative to the screen.
Incredibles 2, is that the animated thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is Incredibles good?
Incredibles is real good.
I never watched it either. Just don't feel bad.
There's a new Wes Anderson movie. I feel like...
Oh, what's that?
With dogs.
Isle of Dogs.
Yes,
it's another. Adorable. It's like stop motion. Have you ever seen Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Right? Right, Miles? You guys
no,
liked it,
I
right?
I love it.
So this is like about a...
Jack has all the figurines on in front of him right now. He's playing with them.
This is about a dystopian future in Japan where they send all dogs to an island and like somebody goes to rescue their dog.
One of these called All Dogs Go to Island.
Because the award for worst reference title has already been taken up for 2018 by The Catcher is a Spy. That is title of a actual like movie that is not a spoof, like as far as I can tell. It's Paul Rudd starring as a real life spy from like around World War II who spied on the Nazis, and they've called it The Catcher is a Spy.
And that's supposed to be The Catcher in the Rye?
Yes.
Are you sure though?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so
Andy, you just pulled a face thinking about that. What do you think of that?
It makes me sad for Paul.
I know. Yeah, it seems like he should have.
Isn't he Ant-Man too? Who's Ant-Man?
He is Ant-Man. Yes.
So he's got another movie. He's an Ant-Man. He's
Ant-Man
Nazi spy
2.
Or spying on Nazis.
Mission Impossible 6.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
I knew it was coming because Tom Cruise sprained his ankle on that. Like that's all you like as much. Like new as you can get out of a Mission Impossible movie at this point is Tom Cruise hurts himself while doing stunts. Now there are like some retread type movies or sequels or whatever that at first you see the name of the thing and you're like, well, shit, that's unimaginative. But then the people involved or whatever make it interesting. Like they're doing a Predator remake, which I would say does not need to happen. But it's being made by Shane Black, who is the guy who, you know, invented Lethal Weapon and wrote and directed Iron Man 3.
I think he said invented Lethal Weapon.
He did. Well, he wrote this original script and like basically invented the buddy cop movie.
Right. It's just funny because Keegan-Michael Key is in it. And when you look at the press photos, it almost looks like a comedy just because he's in it.
Right.
I feel bad because he's trying to look cool. Like he's got a machine gun and everything. But like, I just feel like he's about to do a voice in a movie.
Right.
Like, I just can't.
Because Key and Peele's, like, satire was, like, they always nailed all the details so well.
Right.
That, like, you can't see him in a serious thing without expecting it to, like, break after, like, 2 minutes. There's another Tomb Raider.
Which, that could look cool.
Alicia Vikander.
Oof.
I'm nailing these pronunciations.
Uh-huh. Go on.
There is still yet to be a good video game movie, though, so I don't hold out. Well,
hopefully that Metal Gear Solid movie will come out.
Mm-hmm. Ocean's 8 is coming out, Amy?
Yeah, I'm into it.
You're into it?
Yeah, but I think that there won't be enough Rihanna, so it'll be disappointing in that way. Yeah.
Based off that trailer, it looked like there was not much Rihanna.
I just want to see Rihanna like star in a film. I mean, good for Sandy Bullock and everybody else at all, but if it could have just been led by her, I would have watched that over and over again. I would actually go to a theater and watch it instead of like waiting for it to come on HBO.
Did you watch Battleship?
No. Was she in Battleship?
Rihanna
I heard that she was. Yeah, yeah. Was she good in it?
I mean,
I heard she was not.
No, and she's like not really in it. I mean,
right.
She's in it, but
I'm okay if she's not good. I just want to see her.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Who doesn't, though?
Yeah, she's so pretty.
Shasta Riri.
Yeah.
the like award season movies. Steve McQueen's next movie is coming out, Widows, which could be dope. Mary Poppins Returns is coming out on Christmas Day. Yeah. But like, come on, guys.
Let Mary Poppins live.
Right.
Let the original live.
Figure out the next Mary Poppins.
Who's the new Mary Poppins?
Emily Blunt, which I have feelings about. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she can do whatever she wants. Like, this is her job is to be an actor or whatever. But, it just makes me feel like all agitated for some reason.
Yeah, you're like shaking your hands out.
Like, I think that there's something about her that just doesn't feel like Mary Poppins-y enough. Like, she's too young. I don't know if that's the thing. I always thought Mary Poppins was like an older lady.
I'd rather see Jane Lynch play Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I would fuck with that. Really that would be just interesting to me.
Yeah.
Anyway. But look, we're not in development, so we'll just shut the fuck up and do this podcast.
First Man is the biopic about Neil Armstrong, which is directed by Damien Chazelle. He also directed Whiplash, which is a great movie, so we'll see how that turns out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
And we're back. So this Bloid Watch, we got our normal rundown of the Bloids from our local newsstand. And there wasn't a whole lot going on. Miles, you speculated that they were on Christmas break.
They were on break, man. These stories are weak as fuck. Like Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton's backyard wedding. No, don't care. Even the real tabloids, like the Examiner, they're lazy as fuck. They're digging up old Nostradamus predictions about how, like, Trump is, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing makes sense.
We've talked before about how all of these tabloids, for the most part, except for I think the Examiner, maybe, is owned by this company run by a guy named David Pecker, who is like Trump's homie. And so, you know, you see a lot of pro-Trump propaganda in there. And the National Enquirer this week is the most clear that has ever been. It's like coming straight out of Trump's brain. The cover of it is Megan caught in office cheating scandal about Megyn Kelly, who Trump obviously has his issues with. When you dig into that story, it is like basically the details that they have are that she was at a law firm in her 20s with a guy who got divorced for cheating. And that's it. That's it.
Wow.
They called her ex and were like, she cheated on you, right? And he was like, no comment. I'm not saying anything.
Exactly.
Right.
No comment.
Like, yeah. And they like go into a bunch of details about like their interaction with her ex that they're just digging so hard for some detail about her and they don't have anything.
This reminds me a lot of like Nuclear One or Benghazi or, you know, other people trying to create scandals.
Right. And then there's a story that I'm almost positive Donald Trump wrote directly because the headline is Nuke Crazed Kim Signing Own Death Warrant about Kim Jong-un. And it's just full of all these, you know, quotes from they have a picture of Sumi Terry, who is an actual CIA analyst who, you know, covers North Korea. And they've like quoted her throughout. But it's clear that like she wasn't speaking to them in these quotes. And so what they did to make it seem like it belonged in an Enquirer article is they just threw an exclamation point on the end. So talking about Kim Jong-un, she says, Kim has consolidated power internally, and there are no signs of serious dissent within the regime, except they write it with an exclamation at the end so that it matches their tone. The National Enquirer and just this whole tabloid thing is insane and coming directly out of Trump's brain, or doing their best to sound like they're coming directly out of Trump's brain.
And sadly, the best gossip wasn't even in the Bloids, Bloids this week.
It was in Fire and Fury.
Yeah, shout outs to Ben Roberts on Twitter, who was like, so does Fire and Fury book commentary count toward Bloid Watch? And guess what, my man? It does, because it's gossip and it's fucking juicy.
So I felt like it's like reporting. You guys think it's gossip?
Well, Michael Wolff already has like his issues with like bending the truth already. So he like everyone who, like, when you read articles about his work in the past, it always sort of leans towards this thing where he likes the sensational. So, but then you also read many people, like, corroborating things. So I'm just doing my thing where I'll get excited when I read stuff, but I'm not going to go, like, get on a soapbox and be like, well, did you know that this actually happened? It just...
Right. Trump like has an entire company that has been his mouthpiece for the past, like, well, two entire companies. He's got Fox News, and then he's got all these tabloids who are, like, saying whatever he wants them to say. So now we have the other side, which is somebody who spent a lot of time around people in the White House saying some sensational stuff that, you know, people are able to corroborate. And, like, all the Steve Bannon stuff, he's come out and kind of tried to distance himself from his comments. Because I'm pretty sure he was on stimulants and didn't remember saying any of those things, but that's just totally my instinct and has not been corroborated anywhere. But he has not denied any of the quotes that are on there. He's just been like, well, I really respect the president, but he won't be like, and I never said he was an idiot who was losing his mind. But let's hit some highlights before we get out of here, Miles. There's a meeting on Air Force One that literally nobody wants to be involved with. It's after the story about the Trump Tower meeting broke that was potentially treasonous that Don Jr. was at. And everybody was like, all right, we just need to get ahead of this, come clean, tell the truth about what happened. And Trump instead dictated a statement where they said it was all about adoption. And everyone was like, oh, Jesus Christ, man. I'm like, so Ivanka, according to the book, Ivanka, like, took a sleeping pill to, like, just get herself out of the situation. Like, other people, his head legal counsel just said, I'm not touching this, and then resigned after the flight. There's a lot of just people feeling helpless. There's stories about Trump just telling the same story over and over again. And people say, like, close aides and White House aides say they've been tracking this. In the beginning, it was like every 25 or 30 minutes, you would get the same three stories repeated. Now it's the same three stories in every 10 minutes. That's terrifying.
It's terrifying that, like, his own daughter has to take sleeping aid to, like, dissociate. She can't even do it, like, on her own anymore.
Right. Wait, was it Ivanka or Melania?
It was Ivanka.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It's kind of like a thing where, you know, when I'm in a bad space, I just go somewhere else, like, mentally. I'm physically here, but I can do it because I still have enough, like, energy to. But his own daughter's just, like, so tired.
Yeah.
She's like, I need to be put asleep because I can't even physically bring my mind.
Or you're just emotionally ill-equipped to even handle it. So you're like, oh, I'll chemically solve this.
Ugh. Right. Yeah.
I'll just literally hit myself over the hammer with an Ambien.
I don't like feeling sorry for any of the Trumps, but now this is...
Well, it's weird. Like, when there are other ones, too. We're talking about Ivanka, how, like, their people refer to her as Trump's real wife and as Hope Hicks as his real daughter. Although, and also they talk about how allegedly he told Hicks that she was, quote, the best piece of tail that Lewandowski will ever have, referring to the rumored affair between Hicks and Lewandowski. So, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff. One thing that really caught my eye was I saw this in The Independent. They were apparently, like, he was really, really picky about his bedroom, and he wanted to have a lock on the door, but the Secret Service was like, no, bro. Like, obviously, like, we can't have you lock the door in case anything happens. We have to be able to get to you. And there was a, quote, brief standoff between the president and the Secret Service. And then he also had beef with the housekeepers because they kept picking up his shirt. And he ended it with a warning that, quote, if my shirt is on the floor, it's because I want it on the floor. Okay. That's which is nice because you just don't want to own up to the fact that you're sloppy. Because that's what I would say as a kid when my mom, like, have clean, like, I want that there. It's like, no, I'm just a lazy piece of shit. Another one was that he really wanted that nobody touch anything, especially his toothbrush, because, again, they're saying he is afraid of being poisoned, which is part of why he likes eating McDonald's.
Because he knows McDonald's is not made by humans.
And the food is prepared in advance and so couldn't include anything meant to kill him. Mm-hmm. And also, nobody can change his sheets without him saying so, and he would take the old ones off himself. There's is that because you pee the bed? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that was like me. I remember, like, my mom would be like, oh, you're doing your sheet laundry? It's because I pissed the bed. I'm putting it right in the fucking washing machine, and you don't know what the fuck happened in there.
Mm-hmm. I did that once, too, when I was five,
And see, we're talking about five-year-old behavior. This is a fucking president. Like, you have all this staff. You're like, I will clean the sheets myself. Please do not come inside here. Do not see me. Do not see my pee stains.
I did want to mention that I saw this thing where it wasn't true, but I thought it was true because our fucking president is such a fucking maniac, about how on his first day of his presidency, he demanded to have like an all-gorilla channel on his TV set in his room, and the staff didn't understand what he meant, so they like spliced together a bunch of gorilla documentaries so that he could watch it and feel fulfilled. But then he was angry that this gorilla channel didn't have enough gorilla fighting. And I was reading the whole graph thinking it was like totally, completely true. And so then the staff had to like splice together clips of just gorilla fights. And then the part, this is where I realized it wasn't true. So it said that he watched it for 17 hours straight. And I'm like, he doesn't have an attention right. span to watch anything for 17 right. hours straight, even Fox News. So that's when I was like, okay, this is not true. But the fact that like me as a truth seeker who wanted to know if Zach really got arrested for kicking.
Right.
believed that like this dude would be wanted a gorilla channel. It like, speaks a lot to like who he is, and that a lot of people thought it was real too. I wasn't the only one who read this and thought it was real.
Yeah, there's a person on Twitter named Pixelated Boat, or his handle is Pixelated Boat, and he will like create these things that he claims are excerpts and like presents them totally seriously. But yeah, they're like a slow burn where you only get that it's a joke like once you get to the end. But yeah.
But that is sad that even as I'm hearing, I'm like, that's feasible. Like,
right.
He didn't have his gorilla fights. Okay.
On some days I watch the Gorilla Channel for 17 hours straight. An insider told me he kneels in front of the TV with his face about 4 inches from the screen and says encouraging things to the gorillas. Like the way you hit that other gorilla was good.
Like possible, right? Like totally possible. Yeah. Maybe this could be real life. That's the shittiest and scariest part.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of other shit. There is his technique for sleeping with his friends' wives, which he says makes his life worth living. He will talk shit to his friend's wife and be like, you know, I think your husband is actually not who you think he is. And then he will invite the friend over and leave his line open, have the wife on the phone, and then be like, hey, you've had better lays than your wife, right?
Yeah. You still like to fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Just like dude nonstop sexual banter so that the wife can eavesdrop on her husband being a creep. And then he uses that as leverage to sleep
when
with.
When does he have time? I mean,
this is old.
Before
old
he was
life.
President, yeah.
But I thought this was like during his first 100 days in the office.
Well, but they're, I think, a combination of stories from before and after. So, all right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure. Where can people follow you?
I am Amy Adoizi on Twitter. It's an old punk name I gave myself when I was a teenager. It doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was like Amy Adoizi.
No.
Like a sound you would make like making
from the
fun
early
of
90s
someone.
Bully.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Adoizi. I was really into pop punk and really into alliterations.
Uh-huh.
And I was like on the phone with like one of my best friends when I was in high school, and I was like, I need a punk name. He muttered something and that's what I heard.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's AmyAdoizie.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I am on Twitter. Don't try to follow me on Instagram because even though it's the same, because I'm like private there.
Okay.
I have a private life, guys.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
For you.
Where I'm trying to find my lost love from Glennie Wilson.
Miles.
Shout out to Pat Dennis.
Where can people find you, Miles?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. I also am mostly private on Instagram. You can follow us on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to all the sources for most of the stuff we talk about. We actually have the physical copies.
We got receipts, y'all.
We have the physical copies of the tabloids, though, so we can't link you to those. But you can come by our office. We keep all of them. And please don't come to our office. And that's going to do it for today. We will be back on Monday because it is a daily podcast, but like not on the weekends. We need some time off, you guys. Have a good one. Bye.